We are going to continue on, and just for those that are following along, we're going to do 15 and 16 today, and then we will save the rest of the agenda for tomorrow. So we'll move on to number 15, River Otter Season Survey, and we have Alex Solem, who will be with us virtually. And Alex, whenever you are ready, you can go ahead and begin.
Yeah, thank you. Members of the commission. Can everybody hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
All right, I think I uploaded my PowerPoint to the SharePoint website. So, Chris, I don't know if you can pull that up for me. Otherwise, I can be a presenter as well.
They are working on it.
All right.
Good to go.
Awesome. So thank you, members of the commission, for having me speak this afternoon. I'm Alex Solem. I'm our senior upland game biologist / river otter biologist for the state. I'm just going to go over a quick 2023 river otter summary for you guys with a little bit of data that we collected, some background in the season structure, and how we kind of go about conducting the season. So next slide. So just kind of review of the season structure for those that aren't familiar with it. We have a November 1st start date. With this season, we do have a harvest limit of 20 individuals. These individuals are, as soon as they're trapped, they are required to be reported, so we have a good handle on how many individuals are harvested at a certain time. The season date could potentially go to December 31st or until this harvest limit of 20 is reached. So far, within 4 years of this season, this year is actually the latest that it's ever gone, which was November 19th. Individuals are required to have a fur bearer license. They're allowed one river otter per season. Like I mentioned before, they have a 24-hour reporting period once the individual otter is trapped or shot. Once they contact our river otter hotline to do this initial report, they're instructed to essentially contact some local DFP offices that we've designated with CITES tags, because these are CITES individuals. Then they have 5 days to essentially skin the animal and then bring the detached pelt and the carcass to these designated locations. Right there, they'll get asked a few more questions, more specific harvest locations, whether or not they're targeting it. We'll confirm sex of the individual, all that sort of stuff. So this year in particular, we only had 20 individuals harvested, so we were right at our harvest limit. The 20th individual was harvested on November 18th, and the season officially closed on November 19th after a 24-hour grace period for folks to go check their traps after that last individual was caught. And you can see here on the bottom of this slide, the gray area are the counties that are eligible for folks to have this license and trap river otter. Next slide. One of the big things that is really important with this season is because we have a harvest limit, we have to make sure communication is a key to not only our fur bearer license holders, but just kind of the general public. And I've got to give kudos to Nick. Nick's always on top of things. Him and I have emailed quite regularly throughout the river otter season. Hashtag Otter Watch is kind of our adage for our emails that we go. Or that we send out to communicate to each other. This is pretty integral in order to make sure this communication's out there. This includes press releases before, during, and after the season, just to let folks know what the requirements are prior to the season, what the season's looking like during it, and then once the season is actually complete or that last individual has been harvested. This also includes website updates. We have text that's put on our website that kind of does the progress of what the season's like, informing individuals when the season's still open, when it's closed, all that sort of stuff. One of the unique things that we do have, for those that aren't as technologically advanced as some folks, is we do have a river otter harvest hotline, which is updated as soon as individuals are harvested. That's where myself and the biologist underneath me, we go and we actually update this number on a regular basis, just so folks can call in and see where we're at. That way, we aren't going over that harvest limit or anything like that. We also have the harvest reporting number, which it goes, you know, directly to an individual that takes that initial report. That includes the way that the way that the otter was harvested, kind of a county estimate on where it was harvested, date and or date that the individual was harvested, and then, like I said, information's then passed along to that individual fur bearer license holder, where they'll get in contact with other folks with GFP to register the carcass and receive their CITES tag. The carcass registration is pretty simple. Again, we just take a little bit more detailed information from the folks or from the folks that turn them in. You know, specific location on where this individual was harvested, how many trap nights they had for, or number of traps that they had specifically for target or targeted specifically for river otters, how many nights those traps were available. You know, again, whether or not they actually targeted them. And that sort of stuff. So it's good information that we collect just to get an idea, a handle on harvest. So next slide, please. This is kind of a handy-dandy dashboard that our GIS folks also kind of to help out with this communications thing. This is a live, up-to-date dashboard that as soon as an otter is reported and submitted in 123, it updates automatically. It gives an idea of when the date was actually harvested and what county it was in. And then it also has a percentage bar to tell you how much of the percentage of the harvest limit was actually reached. Pretty cool. You know, I have, you know, a lot of folks that check it, especially ones that are dealing with otters in the department or being check-ins, all that sort of stuff. It's just a way to do a quick and dirty check and, you know, make sure that we're on top of, again, maintaining that position for that harvest limit so we're not going over. Next slide. So I'll get a little bit into the individuals that were harvested this year. So this is just the harvested, the red dots on the map are actually just the distribution of where the individuals were actually harvested this year. You can see here the list of it. We had Grant, Bonholm, Lake, Coddington, Roberts, Duell, Union, Minnehaha, and Brown County. Brown County, this was the first actual individual that had been harvested in that county, so that was kind of cool to see. Just kind of indicates their westward expansion, which we knew as for management that, you know, they were kind of creeping west a little bit from incidental reports, reports of signs, sightings, that sort of stuff, incidental harvests, that sort of thing. One of the cool things about this map is we did see quite a bit more harvest in northeast South Dakota than we normally did. Generally speaking, the last 3 years, kind of that Brookings, Moody, Minnehaha counties were where we saw a lot of the harvest occurring from, and that's obviously pretty well explained because, you know, the location of where their reintroduction was in the state, you know, right in the Big Sioux down there, kind of in Moody County. We expected to have a lot of individuals there. I'm not really sure why, you know, northeast South Dakota had more harvest. It could very well be that, you know, this is kind of a novel season. Their pelts aren't worth a ton of money, so maybe the effort to go through to trap an individual or something like that, kind of the lure of it is not as present as it was maybe when the season was first established. So those folks that have harvested otters within Brookings, Moody, Minnehaha County, you know, they potentially got their otter already and are just kind of like, you know, I'm going to target beavers or what have you. But anyways, here's the distribution of them. So next slide. So this is just kind of a rundown of the dates that number and the number of individuals that were harvested. As you can see, again, we went down to November 18th. It was pretty sporadic, and it tends to kind of go in spurts just from having to operate this season the last 4 years. You know, your guess is as good as mine when it comes to when these otters are going to be actually reported. With the 24-hour reporting time, a lot of times it does happen on weekends. That way folks, you know, maybe they set their trap on a Friday or a Saturday and have the opportunity to check it the next day just due to work and that sort of stuff. Kind of a breakdown of the individuals and the data that we collected from the individuals that turned it in. We had essentially four females that were harvested and 14 males. Two of the individuals, we do have unknown sex of those individuals. We are going to confirm them during necropsy, so we'll be able to tell. It's just we haven't done a necropsy on those individuals yet. All in all, river otter were targeted 11 out of the 20 individuals there. You know, and beaver tends to be kind of the other species that are targeted. You know, river otters and beavers really go hand in hand in their ecosystem. They really depend on each other for slow water, deep water, food, all that sort of stuff. The average trap set was 8.1, with the average trap nights being 53.5. These numbers are pretty comparable to the last few years. Generally speaking, we see individuals set within anywhere from like 6 to 9 traps with the intention of trapping river otters. Trap nights, it's gone anywhere from 17 trap nights. So that is the number of nights times the number of traps that individual had out before they were successful with the otter. It's like I said, it's ranged anywhere from about 17 to 19, all the way up to 50, or a little bit in the upper 50s. So these estimates do not include the non-targets. We don't ask individuals how many traps they put out, how many nights they've trapped, that sort of stuff, if they weren't specifically targeting river otters. Next slide. So what's next? I kind of alluded to this a little bit. Necropsies will be completed on these harvested otters. From these necropsies, we'll be able to get reproductive attributes such as sex, reproductive status, whether or not they're capable of reproduction or if reproduction had the potential to occur. We'll also get age, and as I've presented to the commission beforehand, we use the age of these individuals and do a backdating calculation to kind of backfill and do a minimum population estimate. We also look at physical attributes such as length, weight, height, all that sort of stuff. It's pretty much easy enough information to collect, and just kind of gives us any insight if there's anything going on with the health and condition of these animals. With this information, we're just going to further evaluate it, compare it from years past, that sort of stuff. It takes a little bit of time to do these necropsies, and especially doing the age sort of stuff, we do have to send it into a laboratory that takes a cross cut of the lower canine to age it, and they give us the results back. So it is kind of a timely matter, so we don't have the information for you guys right now. And then on top of that, we'll take all the information, continue our long-term monitoring program that I've presented to before, and that's our latrine surveys, where we do non-invasive genetic sampling, float down the Big Sioux, locate latrines, and then collect individual identification from SCAT. So with that, next slide, I can certainly take any questions if anybody has any.
Very good. Thank you, Alex. Any questions on the survey and the information before us? Alex, I'll just go back. When did you say will you do another survey at this time next year, or when will you can kind of pick this back up?
We will do our, are you referring to the latrine surveys that I kind of talked about?
I do kind of remember that. Remind me when you'll do that one again, and then kind of what we just went over, both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So our survey period for our latrine surveys starts September 1st and goes all the way through the month of October. Being this year would be our fourth year that we've done it, we've kind of fine-tuned that sampling period to be kind of the end of September to the first part of October. A, it's cooler. The water tends to be more stable. It's not quite as high as if we get these really, high summer thunderstorms and that sort of stuff, which kind of elevates the water a lot. And then not to mention, it's also before the season actually occurs. So if we do end up getting individuals that are sampling individuals on these transects, they don't have the potential to be taken out of the population yet through harvest. So we have we have 23 transects that we float. It's about 10,000 kilometers, if I'm right, upstream of the Big Sioux. And it ranges anywhere from probably 30 to 50 latrines kind of on an annual basis. And we've sent in anywhere from right around 100 to almost 200 individual samples. Mm. So we're still waiting on results from University of Idaho with that. We send the samples that we collect to that lab, and then they analyze it, look at the genotypes, whether or not the samples actually amplify to the individual level, and then they send us a spreadsheet back that tells us how many individuals we actually found, as well as if they've been found in previous years, much like the mountain lion sampling that goes on.
Okay, very good. All right. Any other questions or comments for Alex? Very good survey. Good information. Thank you for putting it together for us today.
Not a problem. Thank you very much for letting me present.
Very good. We will go to 16, the Oahe Walleye Fishing Update with Jake Davis, who will be